This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin with a special report from the Texas newsroom 7 days after a gunman killed 22 people in El Paso. I'm the shooter. That's what the suspect said to officers as he surrendered. He later told them he targeted Mexicans. That's according to an arrest warrant affidavit obtained today. 21-year-old Patrick Crucius had his hands up when he got out of a vehicle at an intersection shortly after the attack. El Paso police say he drove more than 10 hours from his home in Allen to the border city. He's been charged with capital murder and may face federal hate crime charges. Tomorrow marks 1 week since the shooting. Most of the 22 people who died had Hispanic last names. 8 were Mexican nationals. As Lauren Terrazas of Texas Public Radio reports, the League of United Latin American Citizens will march to remember them in downtown El Paso tomorrow morning.
The March for a United America calls for stricter gun laws and condemns hateful rhetoric. Cindy Benavides is the CEO of LULAC. She says as the nation's largest and oldest Latino civil rights organization, they wanted to stand in solidarity with the El Paso community and demand a response from local and state elected officials.
We know that many of them receive money from the NRA. We know that they're putting money in politics first, and we are demanding that they put people first.
Benavides adds their organization's efforts won't stop after this weekend's event, and they're exploring ways to provide long-term support. LULAC announced this week they'll partner with the Anti-Defamation League and Unidos U.S. to share practices and techniques on how to address hate crimes. I'm Lauren Terrazas.
Lauren works at Texas Public Radio in San Antonio with Norma Martinez. They're both from El Paso, a city that's nearly 80% Hispanic. And this week, Norma went home to find a Latino community that's angry, defiant, and scared.
El Pasoans aren't just weathering a great sadness. They're struggling with fear and anger. Carlos Ramirez is an El Paso native.
People don't want to use violence, but sometimes people, when they feel fear, scared and stuff, they're going to use violence. Like me, I got friends like that. Right now, they're saying, oh, well, let's do the same. Now, I wish I could go to jail and confront that dude, you know. He's wrong, but I don't think violence will cure nothing.
Rocio Landeros was at the memorial Thursday with her young granddaughter, Ariel. They are scared.
La niña me comentaba ahorita, dice, ay, es que si nos bajamos del carro, después si viene alguien y nos chutea, digo, no.
She says her daughter was scared to get out of the car to view the memorial because someone might shoot at them. Landero says it's very sad that young children now have to live with the fear of being shot. Since the shooting, there have been calls for the government to enact policies to stop this from happening again, ranging from stricter gun control to an improved mental health care system to removing violent video games from store shelves. Randy Parras, National Organizing Director of the League of United Latin American Citizens, says people want something to happen now.
Whether it's background checks, whether it's taking assault guns off of the streets, whether it's more monitoring social media, investing in domestic terrorism, looking those out, that's people want something to be done. They can no longer say, well, it has to be all or nothing. This whole thing of nothing happening after these types of tragedies, I think that's over, and it's time for the people to really set the new standard of this is the time, we want action, we want urgency.
Parras hopes that what happened in El Paso will be a turning point in an ever-growing trend of hate-inspired mass shootings.
You know, everyone has their threshold for injustice, right? It comes to the tipping point where people say, you know what, that's it. Either my family member, my community, or anything else, it can't just be a one day, it can't be an event. It has to be part of a movement, part of a process.
It's a process that's been nearly 200 years in the making. Mexicans and Mexican Americans in Texas were viewed by white Texas settlers in the 1820s as foreigners, invaders in their own land. Texas Rangers and other Anglo vigilantes are thought to have killed hundreds, perhaps thousands, of Mexicans and Mexican Texans between 1914 and 1919, just because they were brown. Yolanda Chavez Leyva is the director of the Institute of Oral History at the University of Texas at El Paso. We spoke outside one of El Paso's oldest neighborhoods, Duranguito. She says Saturday's shootings were just another chapter in a long history of anti-Mexican violence in Texas. Even the rhetoric hasn't changed much in the 100 years that Mexicans were called bandits and criminals. That sounds eerily similar to being labeled criminals and rapists.
You know, one of the things that I find both useful as a historian, but also it's a kind of a burden of being a historian, is that when things happen, you can tell when it happened before and before and before. So this language goes back to the 1820s, where we're criminals, where we're lazy, where we shouldn't be part of the United States, and all the way to now.
Leyva says a solution to hate crimes has to go beyond gun control. She believes this country needs to confront a culture of white supremacy.
White supremacy is so evident in Texas history, but it's evident in the whole history of the United States. So if we take away guns, that still doesn't take away that system of inequality, of violence, of hatred. I want us to look at white privilege. I want us to look at who has power. I want us to look at the systems of power, because that's huge and that's ingrained and that's been here for hundreds of years. And I don't know how we dismantle it. I don't. I've been thinking and thinking. But I know for sure we can't get rid of it if we don't acknowledge it first. So if we as Americans can finally say, this nation is built on white supremacy. If we can do that, this could be a huge turning point.
Leyva herself is not immune to fear.
I'm not usually a scared person, but right now everything seems to scare me. I saw a group of students in a crowd earlier today, and my heart started beating really fast. And it was new student orientation, and my heart was just beating.
That's a sentiment shared by 25-year-old Juan Rivera. He made his first visit to the Walmart Memorial with his two nephews. They left candles and a poster and brought pizzas to mourners. He recalls his first visit to a Walmart since the shooting.
And I just got like so emotional, because I was like, these people were just shopping. What we're doing right now, they were doing, minding their own business, back to school, buying food, stuff like that. And it could literally happen anywhere, anytime now. And that really kind of affected me. I couldn't even sleep yesterday.
Rivera's 17-year-old nephew, Michael, is wearing a full-on black Spider-Man costume in 97-degree heat. He and his uncle wanted to do something special for the families at the makeshift memorial.
It feels happy. I'm happy that I made at least more than five kids smile today, giving them pizza or taking pictures with them. It feels very good. They probably haven't smiled ever since they probably lost a family member or lost somebody's friend.
12-year-old Javier Alvarado was at the memorial with his mom. He's been through active shooter training at his school. Still, he can't believe it happened here. Javier says he can't understand why people hold so much hatred in their hearts.
As you know, the sign over here says, if we could spread love as quickly as we spread hate and negativity, what an amazing world we would live in. I love that quote because it's true. A lot of people spread more negativity instead of positivity, and we need to start spreading a lot of positivity throughout this world.
Javier's mom, Myrna Ceballos, hopes her son will be okay when he goes back to school.
You know, I've been having the conversations with him throughout the week, you know, asking him, how do you feel about going back to school? You know, I don't want this to change his way of being, of the stuff he's done, you know, on the norm. And honestly, you know, this was an outsider who came to our city to break our town, but he's not broken anything. He's made us so much stronger, and I think it's taught us to love each other more, to hold on to each other more, and to tell each other we love you more often.
I'm Norma Martinez in El Paso.
KERA's Stella Chavez flew in just a few hours after that city was shocked by gunfire. She's back home now, and in this reporter's notebook, she reflects on a tough week.
I spent last weekend and a few more days reporting from El Paso. Before leaving, I wanted to see the one place I hadn't stopped by, the makeshift memorial outside the Walmart where 22 people were killed. I wanted to pay my respects and try to process what happened. When reporting on a big breaking news story, meeting crazy deadlines, and getting very little sleep, you don't have time to do that. The memorial has grown in size. It's adorned with lots of candles, flowers, and stuffed teddy bears. The signs are in Spanish and English, many proudly declaring El Paso strong. There are messages from employees of other Walmarts and other businesses. There are notes from El Paso residents in faraway places. From your Canadian neighbors, we grieve with you. And there are white wooden crosses bearing the victims' names. There's a constant flow of people stopping by and pausing. Some cry softly, others kneel or bow their heads and pray. One woman drapes a red and white beaded rosary over one of the crosses. A man scribbles a message on a poster board. A little girl in jean shorts and pink boots stands silently in front of the memorial, in front of a teddy bear. She doesn't move or say anything for several minutes. What is she thinking? Does she know what happened? How is this tragedy explained to a child? The memorial is also peppered with messages to President Trump. One reads, "Señor Trump, ya no más actos de racismo, actos de odio." Translation, "Mr. Trump, no more acts of racism, acts of hate." It's written by three young girls, Americans, with Mexican parents. It ends with, "Ya tenemos miedo de salir, Dios lo bendiga." We are afraid to go out. God bless you. It's a lot to take in, a lot to process. On the flight home, I got a text from a good friend, a former journalist, who wanted to know how the past few days had been. I'm glad she asked. I want to talk about it, just not now. I've covered numerous tragedies, but nothing quite like this. Not a mass shooting, and not one that targeted people of Mexican heritage. People like me.
That's KERA's Stella Chavez. You can catch up on all of our coverage from El Paso and see Stella's photos of that grieving girl in the pink boots at keranews.org. This has been a special report from the Texas Newsroom.